B&E on a Monday, headed into the final month or final week of September. We'll be in October by the end of the month, which means it's Big 12 football, ACL Fest, baseball playoffs. It's all coming. It's all coming fast. Longhorns are improving as they get ready for their first road trip since the Arkansas debacle. But Arkansas has shown that they were no chump when Texas rolled into Fayetteville. They're pretty good now, playing in the top 10 in the country. And Buck, let me ask you this: this top of your head here, and we can put the question out to our texters here on the Specs text line in this final hour. But in college football and in pro football, which teams made the loudest statement in either way? Because you could make a statement in a loss, right? I mean, you could argue that Texas A&M statement was the loudest, right, that they were a top 6 or 7 team that this were revealed as not having a quarterback. And that's going to be a problem in the SEC if that's going to be their offense for Jimbo Fisher.
It's hard because there are so many teams, I thought, in college football that even in a loss, like West Virginia showed me an awful lot in that loss, that they can be as physical as anybody. They just don't have the depth. And what happens as the season goes on if they don't have the depth on that defensive line? They can't play every down for a whole season. They got to find some depth there. But they can be a problem for anybody, especially at home in Morgantown.
Well, you're now 4 games in, right? And for most people, so what were, you know, possible just a bad game, just a bad night, they become trends, right? I mean, Clemson's offense is bad.
Yeah, they can't score. I mean, where are all the dynamic wide receivers and running backs that they should have?
And Dabo Swinney, after their loss to NC State, said we're crushed as emotionally. Look, he's dealing with. It's funny, when Mac Brown had Vince Young into Colt McCoy, and then it was just going to hand off to Garrett Gilbert, and it was supposed to be easy, and it was just going to continue. I mean, that's where Dabo Swinney is right now. He went from Deshaun Watson to Trevor Lawrence, and now here's DJU, and it's supposed to keep on rolling, and it ain't rolling. I mean, and we'll see how Dabo handles it. That becomes a new challenge for him now.
And the same could be said for Mac Brown's group. All of a sudden, you know, they lost. When you lose 2 running backs to the NFL, 2 of them, that becomes a problem for you when you can't find anybody.
Who's going to win the ACC? Your Boston College Eagles?
Yeah.
Hey,
oh,
now.
Oh, no. Fight on, Eagles.
Come on, man.
Here we go. They got Clemson this week at Clemson.
Yeah. Yeah. And I thought Notre Dame made a strong statement, you know, at Soldier Field. By the way, more games at Soldier Field, please. That was pretty cool.
It was.
That was a great scene. That was neat. And, you know, it was a thought it would just be a slugfest, but then Notre Dame broke it open in the fourth quarter with a couple pick sixes, and you know Wisconsin's a fraud. You know, there were a lot of closer games than you thought this weekend in places. I mean, gosh, maybe the loudest statement was made by Iowa State. At this point, it's a trend; they're not very good. And Baylor made a statement. There's no doubt, but man, that what we saw from Iowa State, it's not getting better. And this is what, if you're looking for something that you're excited about, Texas is, since the Arkansas game, it's gotten better.
Yeah, Iowa State doesn't look like an excited football team. They don't take the field. They look like a bunch of cool cats. They get asked to come back, and I'm including their running back and their tight end and Purdy. They just think they just kind of are laid back, thinking that it's an easy deal. We should be good. We've been together for this long, but there's some preparation. They just don't. You got to be excited to play the game. They don't play with excitement.
It feels like it, right? And,
yeah.
And look, I mean, I'll give Texas this credit. I mean, Rice is not a good team. I don't know where Texas Tech will finish in the Big 12, but they didn't look up to snuff. But, you know,
Texas Tech has to go now and play
West Virginia.
Good luck for you, Tech.
Well, just look, I mean, it's not long ago we're with Charlie Strong and Tom Herman, not to continue to bring up their names, but it's an obvious comparison. When you see something new, how does it compare to what you had? I mean, there are games where, gosh, go back to TCU last year on the field here at Texas, where you talked to our friend Quan Cosby, who was on the sidelines for that game, and so many games where player for player, it really shouldn't have been close. Like player for player, it shouldn't have been a close football game. Yet Texas stumbled their way into a game that they gave away at the end to TCU.
Mm-hmm.
And even after the game, Gary Patterson was like, really? We had 12 penalties. We turned the ball over.
That wasn't our best game.
Like, how does that, and it left people close to the program and fans befuddled of how are we even allowing these games to be close. Well, at least since the Arkansas game, which was a complete rude awakening and maybe shook some of these players into what it's going to take, they've handled their business. They put up 58 against Rice. They put up 70 against Texas Tech. And let's hear Coach Sark one more time talking about what has gotten better. Why is it getting better since the embarrassment in Fayetteville?
I think coming out of the Arkansas game, we obviously had a bad taste in our mouth, and we went to work in practice. And I think practice is so critical for us in the way we operate. And then we were able to play well last week. And then the new challenge was, could we handle winning? And we came back with the same intensity in practice again, if not better. I said all week, and I told you guys on Thursday, I thought this was our best week of practice. It showed up again on game day. And so now the new challenge is one game doesn't win you a Big 12 conference championship. You know, it's a body of work that we have to continue to put together. Again, we've got challenges ahead, and the biggest one is next week going up to TCU. So we've got work to do.
Yeah, and when you have a coach that's, by the way, not pretending to be smart, but you can see his ability to coach. I mean, seriously, he's not pretending.
No,
he understands the game of football. He knows how to maneuver people around to hide some of your deficiency, like your offensive line. He's doing those things, and he's letting the players understand, just, you can do it this way, and all that Tom Herman, trust your training and all this stuff. Sark is doing it himself. He's doing it, and his coaches are doing it themselves. They're doing a good job of coaching. They understand that their special teams can be special. They have special athletes, so let's make our special teams something that we can be proud of, something that can win games for us and put us in really good positions. And let's not do it every once in a while. Let's make it that if you're not prepared for us in the special teams game, we'll block a punt and change the game on our special teams. We can do that with our punt returner and our kickoff return. He doesn't just talk the smart talk. He walks it. He's doing it, and you can see that. And those first three games, as I said before, and I'll still say it, that guy was preparing for this Big 12. He could start to understand these other teams in the Big 12. How much better are they really than some of the guys that I have? If I get them going in the right direction, how much better are they really? How much better is Iowa State and Oklahoma? Not much.
Well, and that's...
But you have to... But that doesn't mean, that doesn't mean he wins them all.
Correct. But it gives you, as a fan and an observer, a right to be excited. Because if he's... Or at least optimistic. Because if he's right, and these players show up today at the first week of first practice for TCU as excited as they were last week, and they continue to build on this, right? The old coaching phrase that you know, it gets used a lot, is laying bricks, right? You show up and you lay a brick, right? You have a great day of practice. And if that happens at each position, the team will get better, with the realization that there are going to be issues. Every team has flaws. Texas has flaws. But to your point about Sark's ability to coach around some of them, but at the same time, your opponents have flaws.
Yeah, once again.
Your opponents have flaws. Yeah. You can attack them in their flaws, right?
That's right.
While trying to cover up some of your own, and that's what previous staffs have not done, and I think Sark will do. Look, Texas Tech has gave up 350 on the ground to SMU. There's a weakness there that you can attack. How are you going to attack?
Yeah, and that's not and that's not being cocky. By the way, they gave up 350 yards. Do I expect this Texas team to go up there and be better than SMU? Oh my God, SMU beat them. Yeah, I expect Texas to be better than SMU. And still run the ball on them. I don't know if they're going to run for 350, but if they run for 270, I'll be pretty happy with that. That ought to be TCU. And they can be as have all these advantages, and what Gary Patterson has done to Texas before, and Gary Patterson can tell them, oh, just punch them in the mouth. Texas had already been punched in the mouth, Gary.
Yeah.
Your group is not going to punch them in the mouth any harder than Arkansas has punched them in the mouth.
I do think you'll see a different, for whatever reason, TCU, as we know, 8-2 in the last 10 against Texas. But
this team has confidence, and it's a different kind of
–
it's not that cocky confidence that we've seen Texas
have
before.
They're actually improving as players.
Yes.
And guys who were struggling, and things are doing them a little bit better, and then a little bit better. And then,
right.
And the good – that's allowing the really good players to shine.
I just like the fact that when we're going to get everybody's best shot, that on Saturday, hey, Tech – was that your best shot? Because we slapped the crap out of you with 70 points. And that'll be the same for TCU, I believe. We're going to get everybody's best shot. But by the way, Texas is going to throw their best shot. And right now, with this head coach and the way these kids are playing, you better bring more than your best shot.
Yeah.
And
they feel like they're confident in what they're doing. That's the exciting part. And again, I mean, sure, we can sit here and point out 10 flaws Texas still has, but the other teams have a lot of flaws too. There's not a dominant team in this conference. So if this coaching staff and the players continue to buy into improvement week to week and practice to practice, and then the coaches find the weaknesses within the opponent and attack them with what they can do. That's how you win football
when
games.
You
it's
have
not
to,
rocket science
When
here.
You have to really work at your special teams as the team on the other side of Texas right now,
yeah.
Let me tell you, you're paying extra attention at 11 o'clock in the morning that you are buttoned up and ready to go, because this group right now will come and get your punt. They will take a punt return and bring it to the house. They'll take kickoff returns. I like the fact that you have to prepare now. Before, for Texas special teams, you just hope Dicker can make some long field goals. That's about all you had. But Jameson was a weapon. Now they're truly a weapon in the third phase of the football team.
And as I talked about with Team USA and Ryder Cup golf, I mean, the next challenge is go win somewhere else. Go win. We won't know for USA golf for a couple years, but you got to go do this on someone else's turf. You got to do this when it's not comfortable for you. It didn't go well for you the last time, and I know you talked a lot about, from the coaching perspective, your first road game. They've had that now. That's behind them.
Mm-hmm.
They've had three dominant home performances. They've outscored Louisiana, Rice, and Texas Tech 166-53, and it's come kind of easy. Your guy, Cameron Dicker, all he's been doing the last two games, kicking extra points.
Sitting on the bench.
He's not punting.
No.
He's not kicking at field goals. He's not doing much. He's
knocking it to the end zone.
He's
on
kicking off, and he's kicking extra points. Now, you have to assume that's not going to continue to be the case at TCU and then against Oklahoma. There's going to be some adversity, and that's the next challenge for Sark. And you heard him talk about it with the defensive breakdowns in the second half and in the fourth quarter, is our mental awareness. Our mental intensity has to remain all of the time. That will be the next question for Texas.
And by the way, their offensive line can get better week to week. Even though I talk about how the coach now is putting them in great position with all the movement on offense, it doesn't mean that they can't get better from week to week as a group.
And that's coaching. And if each individual unit is continuing to improve in the areas they're deficient, and the confidence is there, the buy-in continues, this can be a fun team to see, you know, what it looks like a month from now.
And you can't get in dogfights and give up big, long touchdown throws, though. You just
– the big
that's got to stop. Even though that, you know, Sark even knows that late in the game, well, you're up by so many points. But he knows that's how you get beat in a big game right there.
And how about this question from the post game? I don't even know who asked it, but kind of silly. And I like the way Sark answered it. Somebody asked him, is Bijan getting enough touches to win awards?
Like, who cares
if he's going to be in the mix for the Doak Walker and the Heisman Trophy and that? And Sark kind of rolled his eyes a little bit and had this to say about that question.
I'm not really worried about that, Brian. You know, I'm worried about us playing really well as a football team. I've said all along, when you have team success, you get the individual accolades. And, you know, we've got a lot of football to play. We need to continue to get better as a team. Obviously, Bijan is a fantastic player. He's playing really well for us. A lot of guys are. And the better everybody plays, the more opportunities everybody's going to get and the more success we should have. And then ultimately, individual accolades will follow. So, you know, I'm not too concerned with trying to get a guy touches so that he can get awards. You know, we're focused on the team.
Yeah, it's about the team. I mean, that other stuff will come with it. And then next year when he's gone, because after next year he ain't sticking around here. It'd be surprising if he stuck here a year after that. He can then go to your Dallas Cowboys, and you can take Zeke and get rid of that high-paid guy.
He's going to the Cowboys?
And put that guy right there and make hay.
Got Bijan to the Cowboys already?
Sweet.
Man, you're down the
sweet
road. Cowboys are going to worry about the Eagles tonight and beating their rival.
Nah, worry about the guy, what you have with him right now. You don't have to wear him out. We always talk about get him 25 carries. This is get 40 carries. No, don't. You don't have to. That guy doesn't have to work hard to get his yards. He can get his yards.
Well,
the fact
like
that he can
him,
make you miss.
If you get him 20 touches and 6 or 8 of those are on the perimeter and in space, he's going to take a couple to the house. He's going to make some dudes miss.
I've been around a lot of those guys, man. The only guy that I've ever had that had feet like him was a guy named Troy Stratford that played for me at Boston College. It was the rookie of the year in the NFL. But he was much smaller, but his acceleration was well, this guy's acceleration is amazing to me.
At 220, I mean, that's what they list him at.
Yeah, that's what I keep saying. 220.
Yeah, he's got the stiff arm, he's got the spin moves. I mean,
he's got the Gumbyism.
And
he bends in all kinds of shapes.
Who called the game this week on TV? Because I was at the stadium. I'm trying to remember, but I watched some of the replay.
I don't think it was those two. That
it was on ABC.
That Sooner hater.
Oh, it was Dvorak. It was Dusty Dvorak.
Yeah, did a good job.
Who I like him.
Yes.
And it was Dusty, I think, that I heard compare him to Alvin Kamara. that he reminds me a little bit of Alvin, which if you watch Alvin Kamara with the Saints who beat the Patriots yesterday, he's got the out of the, and he's just so strong. His core is so strong. Mm-hmm. His ability to go to
he
go
makes
low.
Catching look easy, by the way.
Yeah, but gosh, he makes everything look natural. Yeah. But he's so strong, and people come up to tackle him, and they think they got him, and then he makes a move. But then at the same time, he can run through a tackle. He's strong physically. That's what Kamara, where he doesn't look like the biggest dude, but he can shake you out of your shoes, and he can run through you, and he can catch. He's just a narrow terror in the open field.
Yeah, that's
right
why
now.
I can't make comparisons. People saying compare him to Ricky right now. No, Ricky Williams is a cut above. This kid has the possibilities. But Ricky also, when you thought he was playing at 235, that dude was like 245. I mean, he was born at 225.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, when he came out, he was 2 1/4.
Strong legs.
Yeah.
Bijan, I like the Kamara comparison. I do. I think there's a lot of similarities when you watch their games. I think Kamara's a little more angular, a little taller, but boy, Bijan is special. And I like Roschon, and you love Keelan Robinson, and the emergence of Xavier Worthy. And more into this offense, you're starting to hear what all the hype was about during the summer. That and being at the games early, that they where he wasn't putting up big numbers, you could see him getting open. I mean, you could see him as a guy that he is effortless in his route running. He plays the game easy, and now you're seeing it show up when they're forcing the ball his way in a lot of different ways.
And I love the fact that the quarterback actually really, really studies this game.
Yeah,
because when you're not a 6'4", you know. Big stud quarterback like some of these guys that you see playing right now, your study is important to you. When you break down people and some of the weaknesses and what they do in the secondary, he just has command of what they're trying to do with this offense. Yeah, that was a silly interception that he threw. That's where the quarterback gets outside the box. That's where you start smelling yourself a little bit and saying, man, I smell good today. That's what you have to watch out for. And I'm pretty sure his quarterback coach and the head coach got him to the side and said, hey, that's some of the stuff you did when you were in competition. Do you remember when you had a competition with the freshman quarterback? Those are some of the throws that you were making. Those are the things that got you in a competition instead of being the quarterback. So I'm pretty sure they settled him down over that part, too.
I think you're right about that. And I would imagine knowing what we've heard and gotten to know about Casey is that one interception is nagging him more than the 6 touchdowns he accounted for. Because that was just not a good decision, and he was late, and yeah. You know it happens. But
those are two good cornerbacks, by the way, for Texas Tech.
You'll be in closer games that could hurt you a lot to make that decision.
Tech's
right there.
Corners were pretty good.
Yeah,
They had some good players at cornerback.
Well, and that goes to your point about the scheme. I mean, if you go back and look and chart where Xavier Worthy was. He was all over the field.
Yes.
I mean, he was in the slot, and then he's in motion, then he's over here. Gosh, on the touchdown where Casey floated it to him in the corner, the right corner of the north end zone, I mean, there was a three by to the right, and he was the inside guy and ran. I mean, it was a really smart route because he knew he had man coverage, and he got a little rub, and, you know, he was just on his own in the back of that end zone, and they had the Tech guys looking at each other. That was good scheme. That's a good play call right there in the right spot, and Casey threw the perfect ball to the back pylon. But the Longhorns score 70. They get the win. Biggest statement in the NFL, Buck. We'll pick it up on the other side. I think there's a couple on either side, the good statements and then the bad. Hard to argue with the LA Rams statement they made yesterday against the world champions. What did the Green Bay Packers reveal last night in a tough, hard-fought road victory at Lambeau Field or at the San Francisco, which was a tough one, and the other statements made in Week 3 in the National Football League? And can the Cowboys make a statement of their own tonight when they play the Philadelphia Eagles? We'll get into all that coming back live, local, and digital on the Horn app, on your smart speaker, and at hornfm.com.
It's Bucky and Aaron.
Thompson play fake, throws to the end zone, caught, touchdown, Texas. Xavier Worthy in the back of the end zone. Great play fake by Casey Thompson. Then the strike in the back of the end zone to Worthy.
Three touchdown catches for Xavier, the X-Man. Steve Sarkisian, Game Week News Conference coming up at 11 o'clock this morning. Previewing now TCU as the Horns roll 70-35. Also, tonight it's the Cowboys and the Eagles Monday Night Football, wrapping up Week 3 in the National Football League. Also tonight, Buck, it's a nice night at the Dell Diamond. They've got their final home game of the regular season. Remember, they extended a month because of COVID. They started late, if you remember, because they, you know, Major League Baseball pushed them back a month. So they wrap it up tonight. Good opportunity if you want to get out, and you probably keep up with the Cowboys game while you're there, but they've got $5 24-ounce Bud Lights. You got 24 ounces of Bud Light for $5. Plus, they've got dollar hot dogs and sodas tonight to have the final game at Dell Diamond when they take on Tacoma this evening. So go check those guys out. And Chris Almendares and the team out there did a heck of a job. Another great season for them. And Austin FC got a win last night, Buck. They beat up on
One for the month, yes. Yes, they did. Well,
they broke a month-long losing streak.
It's all right. The party still remains. Keep the party going. You know, there was a first that just happened. I haven't heard this or seen this before, and I know people probably do it. But I went to the bathroom, and there's somebody in the bathroom that is doing their business to music. They got their phone out in that corner stall back there, and they're jamming, and they're crapping at the same time. I've never heard that before. Generally, people try to semi-stay quiet when they're in, you know, kind of. Somebody's jamming in there. I've never heard that before. Is that a deal now? That you bring your phone in and start to play a little music while you crap?
I listen to music a lot when I'm not on the crapper. Radio show. I have it on the crapper.
Yeah.
But I do not, I'm not a fan of the complete silence. I like some noise. Like I maybe turn the water faucet on a little bit.
I understand when the kids drop off, you don't like anybody hear that kerplunk, kerplunk. Yeah, that could be embarrassing. But they don't know who you are. That's the thing.
Well, even at my house, I try to, you know, create a little noise.
If I'm in my house,
vent on.
I'm just letting it bang, bing, bang, bang. It's my house. I can let that loose. Matter of fact, I went to church yesterday.
Well, good.
I went to church. I went to church, and it wasn't Catholic church. I'm not talking about, I didn't go to Mass.
You went to
church. I went to church up in there in Dripping Springs. Shout out to folks at Dripping Springs. I was at church, and a little different when you go to a service and not a Mass. See, at a service, I was at a service yesterday where the preacher, Brad, he preaches at not only that place, but he teaches at the big place out, you know, off of Cuernavaca. That big, huge monster.
The big monster with the parking garage?
The monster out of Cuernavaca, yeah, with the parking garage. Like the stadium is as big as
Durham?
It's like the stadium, yes.
Yeah.
He's the main guy there. Big awesome. Big Clemson fan. They lost, so wasn't much in the sermon about that, but it was good. I felt good after I left there, and it's different because they have like a concert before. When you go to like
entertainment, a service, musical.
They have drums in there.
I like that. Get
they
you,
had tambourines.
Because you got to get yourself in a spiritual place to be spiritual.
Dude,
sometimes.
I'm used to going in there into my Catholic church and being fearful. You don't walk in there and they're jamming the concert. There was a three songs before the sermon starts. Three. You're standing up for three. So it's like a concert. It's like you being at ACL, you know, live, standing in front of the stage. And you probably should be worshiping, praising God that way, right? You should be happy.
Nothing wrong.
And joyful.
Faith, right? You're
but you
you're
know,
finding your spirituality.
In Catholic churches, like, dun, 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 dun.
Some places when you're walking really good, dun, dun, dun. Really good musical group, bands.
A Catholic church?
Yeah. But yeah.
Are they starting to jam first before the sermon?
Well, not before the. Typically, when we go to Catholic Mass, we go to St. Ed's, where we went to college.
No, I'm looking up at the gargamels up in the corner going, ooh.
Yeah, we're not going down. But no, wherever you go, but we go. They have a really good section with a great piano player and singer. And now they sing the typical Catholic songs.
But,
you know, they can do it a little more upbeat, bring a little.
They could bring a little. They were bringing it a little bit yesterday.
Nice.
Yeah, great sermon. Thank you very much there, Reverend.
This fella says, I have you know, I crap while listening to B&E.
So
he puts the Horn app on.
Just listen to us. You get all the crap you want.
Yeah, got plenty of crap here.
Wow.
I hope everybody had a great weekend and you found your spirituality.
The Longhorns
found their groove. Can the Cowboys find theirs tonight? That becomes a question with the Philadelphia Eagles in town. What NFL that you gandered at, Buck, this weekend did you think statements were made either for or against? Because I'll just say I think the biggest statement one of the biggest statements I saw this week was Pittsburgh is not good. Like,
what about my running back? What about my rookie of the year?
Najee Harris, they're one-dimensional. Their offensive line is as bad as feared, and Ben Roethlisberger is old, and he can't carry that offense. It's what we saw last year when they were 11-0 and then lost five in a row and then ended up losing to the Browns. It's one-dimensional on offense, and here's the big thing. Remember week one? This is what happens after you've had 3 weeks of football, and you can start making a little more has revealed itself. They beat Buffalo week one, and that was shocking to surprising to a lot of people that the Buffalo would lose that game at home to Pittsburgh, and it signaled that maybe Pittsburgh's back, and Pittsburgh is going to be in the mix. But if you go back and watch that game, remember the Steelers got shut out in the first half. They had no points. It was like 13-0.
Yeah, that was about Buffalo.
And then in the second half, Buffalo, they had a punt blocked. You know, the Steelers, give them credit. They made a few plays and turned the game, ended up winning one of those low-scoring games. Well, the statement that has been made since that point is that Buffalo has gone on to score 35 and 43 points in their next two games and have blown the doors off Miami and Washington. Pittsburgh, meanwhile, went home to lose back-to-back home games to the Raiders and the Bengals.
Mm-hmm.
And look bad doing it, Buck. Look bad doing it. The Bengals, they held them to 10 points. And so it's like we saw late last year, defenses are figuring out what they can and can't do, and they're taking the can away. And the Steelers don't have an answer. They don't run the ball. And Ben looks old. So that's a big statement. I think Buffalo is going to be a factor big time in the AFC, where the Kansas City Chiefs are now 1-2. Gosh, the Ravens were a 66-yard kick from the great Justin Tucker from being 1-2 themselves in that start to their season. Cleveland's 2-1. And 3-0 in Denver, 3-0 in Oakland.
Well, I think the Chargers can play with anybody in the NFL right now. And their wide receivers are big and strong. And the quarterback,
special.
I don't know, he's really special, man. He can heave it from, he can do all of some of those Pat Mahomes kind of things. He can throw it from a lot of different angles. I like the way they play. And by the way, their coach will take some chance. I got to take some chances now.
Yeah.
He doesn't care. They play to win the game.
I think even Cowboy fans would have to admit that the Chargers were their own worst enemy in that game with the Cowboys. They had their opportunities to break that game open.
Do you realize they had a bunch of legal procedures in this game again?
Yeah,
they're not set?
Chargers are poorly. They do dumb things.
That's on their quarterback. He's not letting guys get set.
Well, then they'll, because that's what cost them in the Cowboys game.
Yeah.
And the Cowboys, you know, found a way to win that game. How about this? In the last 2 weeks, we've had a 56-yard field goal for the Cowboys to win a game. Mason Crosby of the Packers had a 61-yard game winner last night. And, of course, Justin Tucker hits a 66-yarder to beat the Lions yesterday. It's been crazy. And then last night, you know, yesterday, you also had the Raiders, who, by the way, shouldn't have ended up in overtime with the Dolphins. That they were their own worst enemy in that case. But crazy game. The other statement I thought, Buck, was the Rams.
Yes.
Because you and I both thought that was a coin flip game. Tampa went with Tampa just on Tom Brady. Rams are for real. Is it fair to say through three games where Matt Stafford has been the MVP of this league so far?
I like the Rams and how their cornerbacks play. I like, is it Ramsey? It's like, you know, playing all over the place.
The star position.
The star position. And you can't run against them.
Yeah, Aaron Donald's still Aaron Donald.
Yeah.
Yeah, they look the part. They look the part of an absolute contender and maybe beyond. Arizona's 3-0 too, but they kind of scuffled with Jacksonville for a little bit. There was a big pick six that Trevor Lawrence made a terrible throw.
Kyler Murray had a lot of yards again.
Well, Kyler's off to a real good start, and they're 3-0 in Arizona.
And tell me why Tampa Bay's the two big guys on the inside don't come into like third down now. You know, they're not playing on rundowns.
Because no one's running on them. People are just throwing on them. I mean, it's almost like people are going to borrow the Cowboys' game plan until someone proves them otherwise and say, why would you run into a brick wall when you can just throw against this secondary? It's not very good. It's not very good.
Mm.
And, I mean, Sean McVay, you know, his offense is very similar to Steve Sarkisian's. It's a run-based offense, and then the play action off of it and all the movement. But, gosh, why even try? Matt Stafford is in that offense is pretty special.
Yep.
Pretty special. Those two together, they're hard to get off the field. This game, if you watch the Buccaneers-Rams game, which was America's game of the week, it was 7-7. And, you know, the Rams flipped the game when they went on a drive before the half and scored right before half. Gosh, thing with Sony Michel, they got in the end zone. And so it's 14-7, and the Rams were getting the ball coming out of half, and that's when they hit DeSean Jackson on the big long pass. So they went from 7-7 to 21-7 without Tom Brady getting back on the field. He wasn't even on the field to do anything. By the time Brady got the ball back, they're down 14 points, and they had went 3-and-out, and then here came the Rams again and went and scored again, Buck. I mean, they're just... They're, you can almost see the look on Sean McVay's face. There's nothing he can't call.
Well, the quarterback's so good.
I know that the quarterback can't execute.
Yeah, he's really good, and he's just been in Detroit forever. He's always been a star. He's just been in the wrong place. And I just got to believe the receiver for the Green Bay Packers is in the top five players, period, in the NFL.
Adams.
Yeah, he's like, I don't know how the 49ers and Shano didn't stop that guy, but he's like, with the quarterback throwing to him, they throw the ball where you just can't get it. And he's so big. He's He looks like he's about 6'4", 220, 240. Between
great body control.
What a great body he has on him.
Well, and Aaron Rodgers can put the ball wherever he wants. I mean, he just that's his gift. His ball placement to where, and he know he's got the synergy with his receiver that I'm going to throw this back shoulder thing.
It's easy.
It's easy. It looks easy, but it isn't that.
But they tore into that rookie so bad.
Yeah, baptism by fire for him. They 18 targets at Devontae, 12 catches. Silly good. Silly good.
What'd you think of New England Patriots?
Their offense is struggling. They miss Tom Brady. Shocking there.
Well, yeah, their quarterback only throws the ball like 6 yards down the field.
Yeah, they don't go down the field. That's going to have to change because guess what this week is? Tom Brady in Tampa. No, in New England.
You think he's coming off
Tom Brady's return to New England coming off a loss. You know, talk about the game of the year, or at least the hype game of the year. And, you know, I don't know what to make of the Saints at this point because, remember, they've been away from New Orleans for a month now.
Right. And they look pretty good.
They look great week one when they shellacked those Packers, who look like a mess. Now the Packers have turned around with back-to-back wins. And the Saints then went. This also can add, hey, this Carolina team might be pretty good that we're talking about in Carolina that the Cowboys will see in 2 weeks or next week after they play the Eagles tonight. That Carolina team is good. And
they won't be good unless they get the running back to play in the big games.
But that defense will give everybody trouble, and that's what they did to the Saints. They choked out Jameis Winston and the Saints with Matt Rhule and Phil Snow in that defense. Saints turned around, went to New England, and they were better than the Patriots all day.
They were. You're right. Their defense was played like they played 2 weeks before.
That's right. And they got Alvin Kamara going early. You know, Jameis Winston threw a touchdown pass that was like a Hail Mary. He just was falling back and threw it to Marquez Callaway. That's a throw that likely should get picked, but it did not. So you give Sean Payton's team credit. I mean, Sean Payton's got to feel pretty good. We've already gotten wins over the Packers and the Patriots. And yeah, we didn't play well against Carolina, but we get them again later. And I think they get to go home this week.
Oh, they are.
I think New Orleans gets to go home. And the team I don't know, Buck, because you realize that the Denver Broncos are one of the very few 3-0 teams so far. Rams, Cardinals are 3-0, and then the Raiders and the Broncos. But the teams the Broncos have played are a combined 0-9. 0-9. They played the two New York teams and the Jacksonville Jaguars. So it's hard to get a read, but I know you like
Hey, they've covered a spread each and every week.
They've covered. Winning is hard.
Well, winning covering the spread in the NFL is hard, and they've done just that, even with bad teams.
The thing that's unknown is just how bad the Jets, the Giants, and the Jaguars are.
Well, I know how bad the Jets are. They're terrible. They're terrible. That poor young quarterback is going to, you know what?
First-year coach, young quarterback.
Yes, terrible offensive line.
And Jacksonville, I mean, I like that the Broncos are in the mix, and I do like some of their personnel. And Vic Fangio is always going to have a good defense. I just got to see him play somebody that's at least a challenge at this point.
It's still rocking in Denver now when they play at home.
I know. Great home field. Teddy Bridgewater's efficient. They've got weapons. But, man, 0-9.
Nobody has weapons like the Rams right now.
Doesn't feel like it.
Did the Rams get a chance to play the Chargers at that stadium?
I don't believe that
should happen, shouldn't it?
Well, it'd be all Rams fans, right? I mean, the Rams fans were rocking. Heard Troy Aikman saying yesterday that this place hasn't been rocking like this because he went to UCLA. So
the Chargers keep playing like that, they're going to get some of those Los Angeles fans. You can't not like that quarterback.
Chargers tried to give yesterday's game away when they threw a touchdown pass and let Pat Mahomes back on the field. When
legal procedure.
No, but think about the Chargers yesterday, right? You have a scenario which you can kick, you can bleed the clock and kick a field goal from the 2 yard line.
Zay, what did their head coach say? What did that dude say about that game in the locker room? His players,
during his hype speech.
Yeah, they're going to question him, right?
Yeah, he knew that he was going to get questioned, and he just said, "Yo, I believe in my team." Y'all all knew we were going to come in here and win. There was no surprise to us. So I don't care what nobody says.
He doesn't care about kicking that.
Does not care. He has faith in this team. Confidence.
Well, that's dumb. I know he's one of the youngest coaches in the league. He's 38 years old. If you didn't see that game or didn't see the finish, they could have bled the clock all the way down, made the Chiefs use all their timeouts, and Patrick Mahomes never comes back on the field, kick an extra point, and get out of there with a win. Instead, they threw a touchdown with plenty of clock left,
40 seconds
to Mike Williams. Which
I think it was 40 seconds.
Pretty much crushed my fantasy team, but so there's no personal grudge here. But look, I mean, again, they put him up six. That gets Patrick Mahomes back on the field at least with 35 seconds. Why would you do that? I mean, they got Tyreek Hill. And if Tyreek Hill would have caught the ball on first down that hit him right in the chest.
By the way, that did hit him. He should have caught that ball.
Right. This is where I'm like, okay, McCarthy, you can do all the hype speeches you want. That was dumb. That was dumb.
That was a catchable ball by him.
Yeah, to hit him right between the one and the zero. And he dropped it. If he catches that, it's still a long shot, but you're letting Patrick Mahomes back on the field.
Well, he's getting the ball at the 20-yard line with that play.
When he could have, he didn't have to come back. He could have walked off the field, never get back on the field, and you win the game. That
dude would have been the dumbest. Zay, don't even shake your head. He would have been the dumbest coach ever if they'd have come back on him. But ifs and nuts and candies and my uncle was my aunt and all that stuff, right?
Yeah, I give him.
Young coach, how do you show confidence in your team? Risking it all.
Doing dumb things shows confidence in your team. But either way, it paid off.
They won.
And it's the Chiefs that are doing. It's the Chiefs that are doing dumb things. They keep turning the ball over. And that's
Patrick Mahomes on the back pedal throw.
Gosh. I mean, Lair another fumble. Tyreek had a fumble in that drop we talked. They're just playing sloppy football, which that's going to get you beat when their defense is
Andy Reid getting all dehydrated.
Hey, this says if you're talking bad O-lines, put the Bears in there. Oh, yeah, the Bears are
I think Justin Fields, how do you like that?
Yeah, Justin Fields first start, 9 sacks later.
Is that what that was yesterday?
9 sacks.
And he didn't get hurt. He's okay.
Well, they had like 46 total yards against the Browns in a 26-6 loss. 9 sacks, under 50 total yards.
I think Garrett had a good day.
He had 4.5.
Okay, I was thinking he probably had a good day then.
Yeah, Myles Garrett got after it. We'll be back. We will reset our top stories of the morning and tee it up for a very busy Monday here on the Horn, including getting ready for Light the Tower with Craig and Jeff and the crew. It's Benny on the Horn.
The Horn's text line is brought to you by Specs, a Texas-sized selection of wines, spirits, finer foods, and specialty beers. Cheers to savings. B&E.
Pacey steps up, deep over the middle, ball caught by Worthy, in the Tech territory, still on his feet, he broke free! Say goodnight to this one! Xavier Worthy, pinballed away from two would-be tacklers, and the strike goes for 62 yards and a Longhorn touchdown.
Oh boy, Xavier Worthy, Xavier. And sometimes when you have that, it's what his mama calls him, is it Xavier or is it Xavier?
Xavier.
I think they've gone with Xavier.
Xavier? Not Xavier?
Pronounce the X heavier. We'll let Craig Way get into that because he just called him Xavier. But he's making a name for himself, whatever they call him. The kid can play, 3 touchdowns. And that's going to be fun to watch that young man evolve at Texas. If he's
all
this buck good,
40 of them?
Ain't bigger than that. They say 165. But if he's, you know, when they were recruiting him at Alabama, Steve Sarkisian and A.J. Milwee, you know, they were the recruiting pitch was you can come here and be our next Devontae Smith, right? You can come in here and replace the Heisman Trophy winner.
Mm-hmm.
And obviously he ended up picking Michigan because he felt like the wide receiver room was pretty crowded at Alabama. So when Sark got the job here and he, you know, never broke that relationship with Xavier, he decided to change his commitment and show up at Texas. And he has been everything. He's a freshman. And it's just playing this good. He's already become the go-to receiver with Jordan Whittington there as well. But they're not going to stop force-feeding 8 the ball. There's no doubt, even into the meat of their Big 12 schedule. And that's exciting for a true freshman.
Yeah, because he makes all the catches. He doesn't drop balls. When they hit him in the hands, he makes the catch.
And you could hear Sark, I'm sure he'll say it again coming up at the news conference in about an hour and 6 minutes. We'll have live coverage of Sark's Monday presser as we do each Monday. But they still haven't hit one of those deep ones, and they keep trying. They just haven't had that run under it and go touchdown yet. I think they'll get it at some point, but Xavier's going to be – they had one to Josh Moore this week that got a 15-yard, got a pass interference call that looked like it was coming, and the kid just tackled him. By the way, NFL games yesterday, I saw several where it looked like this was obvious pass interference, like the guy got tackled as the ball was way before the ball came, and they didn't call it. I don't wonder if what we talked about last week with the officiating being so ticky-tack.
Yeah, let him play a little bit, please.
That there wasn't a message. Hey, guys, let's let him play a little bit.
Hey, did Santa walk on the field or did he run like he was juiced?
He ran. Well, he was juiced. There was a guy at the game Saturday dressed in a Santa costume. Well, we'll let Craig Way explain that coming up because he had to call it. They didn't show it on TV, but Craig did a very good radio call of Santa on the field. I wonder if it's worth it when you do that.
Well, they just take you away. They just take you to probably campus police and then let you go after the game.
No, I think you go to the.
Or you got to pay a fine.
City, you got to go sit.
And you got to pay a fine, right?
Oh yeah, oh yeah. That's a Class C misdemeanor of some kind.
Hmm.
Trespassing.
That's right. There
yes,
you go.
Sir. Yes, sir. Hey, Buck. Have a great Monday. Are you going to play poker tonight?
I'm hoping to play. Bad back or not, I need to play some poker.
Well, I know you'll be watching the Cowboys game
for sure,
and I will as well. We'll be watching it and talking about it tomorrow morning. Cowboys Eagles right here on the Horn. Part of a busy Monday. Craig and Jeff are next. We'll know Bucky's poker results, and we'll get the Cowboys conversation going tomorrow for sure. And we'll hear some of the highlights of Steve Sarkisian's Game Week news conference as we start drilling down and prepping for TCU here in the final week of September. If you missed any part of today's program, A Good, Bad, and Ugly Monday, please go check it out. You can find it at our website, hornfm.com. It's all podcasts there. Have a wonderful Monday. Light the tower next.